I'm very happy now to welcome Andrew Lovato. He is author of the book Santa Fe Hispanic Culture, Preserving Identity in a Tourist Town, which we talked about a couple of years ago. He's professor at Santa Fe Community College, and he will be speaking tomorrow night, September 8th at 6:30 at the St. Francis Auditorium, sponsored by the Museum of New Mexico Foundation. And the subject of the lecture is the Santa Fe Fiesta, reflecting the changing faces of Santa Fe culture. Welcome, Andrew, to the Radio Cafe.
It's nice to be with you,
it's
Mary
good to
Charlotte.
Have you back, yeah. So, Santa Fe Fiesta. Okay, we're in the 400th anniversary year, but we haven't had Santa Fe Fiesta for quite 400 years.
Right, it's been 298 years to be exact.
And what was it when it first started, and how do we know about it?
Well, the Fiesta actually had very humble beginnings. If you really want to talk about the story of Fiesta, we really have to go back to the year 1625 when a santo was carved. And this santo is made out of willow wood and stood 28 inches tall. And a Franciscan friar by the name of Alonso de Benavides brought her to Santa Fe from Mexico City to provide inspiration for Santa Fe colonists. She eventually was called La Conquistadora. And she was a part of the lore of Santa Fe, in particular Don Diego de Vargas, when he came back after the Pueblo Revolt in 1680. In 1693, he brought her along with him. And when they retook the city of Santa Fe, he vowed to set up a church in her honor and to honor her because of her intercession in the successful reconquest. And this began a fiesta tradition. Actually, the way it actually began was in 1712, 8 years after Vargas died, a group met to commemorate Vargas's memory, and they were led by Juan Paz Hurtado, who was actually Vargas's lieutenant governor, and a proclamation was drafted to commemorate the reconquest and Vargas's memory with an annual fiesta. And so 1712 is cited as the historical beginning of that Santa Fe Fiesta.
I just always find it ironic when icons of a supposedly peaceful religion are called things like the Conqueror, La Conquistadora.
Well, that's an interesting question because Tom Chavez did some research. And one of the things he points out is that the term Conquistadora at that time actually meant to win one's heart and affection. So the term sometimes is misunderstood.
Well, I mean, it's misunderstood up to a point, perhaps, but I mean, it was about the conquest or reconquest of the Indians.
And it was, actually.
Which was not a conquest of their hearts.
At that time, it's interesting because Don Diego de Vargas, in 1692, there's actually two entradas or entries into Santa Fe. And in 1692, when the King of Spain appointed Don Diego de Vargas as the Captain General and Governor of New Mexico, he met with Indian leaders to ask that Spanish settlers be allowed to return peacefully to Santa Fe. This was the first entrada in 1692. He was convinced that his first mission was successful, so he arrived in Santa Fe in 1693, a year later, with 18 friars, 70 families, and things like 2,000 horses, 1,000 mules, 900 livestock. And he was surprised to find that Santa Fe, the areas that he had asked for, had not been vacated by the Indians. So what actually happened was de Vargas and his troop camped outside of Santa Fe, and this was in December, bitterly cold temperatures. And this was a little bit north of Santa Fe, and some of his group actually suffered casualties and exposure with over 20 deaths. So at that point, finally on December the 28th of 1693, Vargas ended the peaceful plans of his reconquest and laid siege to Santa Fe with the aid of Pecos Indian allies.
So Fiesta itself, you talked about this figure, this conquistadora. Does this peace still exist?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the real impetus of Fiesta is the connection between Vargas and La Conquistadora. Vargas wrote before he came in 1693 that he wished to return to New Mexico to reestablish her throne, to reign over the kingdom of New Mexico. And so he prayed for her intervention so that the reconquest would end successfully. So after the Spanish returned in 1693, Vargas had a La Conquistadora enshrined in a chapel. And this was the beginning of the heart and soul of the fiesta, is the commemoration of Vargas's memory and this connection between Vargas and La Conquistadora.
And can we still see this piece?
Yes. She is a big part of the Santa Fe fiesta. And there, it's interesting because the Santa Fe fiesta first began as a religious observance. That's its real roots, is a religious ceremony. It's transformed in many different ways to the present, so that there's still a very important religious aspect to it, but many people aren't in touch with that. They're more in touch with the other aspects, such as zozobra and
which is relatively recent. We'll get to that.
Yeah, and all of the other things that go along with fiesta, but the real origins of fiesta are religious in nature.
And so how was it actually celebrated? What did fiesta look like in the, 17th century?
Sure. Actually, the way it was celebrated was mainly through the honoring of La Conquistadora, through masses, through processions, and this was the real focus of the fiesta at that time, and Corpus Christi and La Conquistadora processions were really the main points of focus for the early fiestas through the 1700s and the 1800s.
But I mean, was it a family occasion? Did everybody come out? Were there parades? I mean, anything resembling what we have today?
Not really. The Santa Fe settlers at that time were pretty hard-pressed being here in the northern frontier of New Spain. They were over 1,000 miles away from the capital city of Mexico, and they had few of the comforts. So religion actually was extremely important, and La Conquistadora was a really important icon of hope and devotion for them. So that was, in a sense, their way of coping with this incredibly hard lifestyle that they lived.
And so then fiesta continued for a while, and then kind of died out, right?
It did. Yeah, fiesta actually, we don't have a lot of information about fiestas during the 1700s and 1800s. It's not well documented. We do know that it continued to exist and continued to be an important part of the lives of Santa Feans during this period. Some big changes occurred in the fiesta around the time when the Mexican Revolution took place, or right after the Mexican Revolution. Although the revolution didn't affect Santa Feans directly, the repercussions of that would, in a dramatic way, affect fiesta and Santa Fe.
Really?
Yeah, and the main thing that happened was the Mexican government opened up trade restrictions that had been held by the Spaniards, and this led to an influx of new goods and people via the Santa Fe Trail.
Right.
And Americans brought new ideas, new tools, building supplies, trappers and traders and entrepreneurs arrived, and eventually this led to a changing Santa Fe, and especially after the occupation of Santa Fe in 1850, the territory was transformed and the fiesta was transformed permanently at that point. So if we carry on the story of the fiesta from that point on, as more Americans arrived in Santa Fe, suddenly fiesta was not the only important festival. The 4th of July took on equal importance. So in an interesting kind of merge, the fiesta and the 4th of July celebrations were merged together to become one big festival.
Very interesting. So fiesta happened in July?
That's correct. Fiesta happened in July, and this actually became the prototype for future fiestas. The big change happened in 1883 with the fiesta. There was a celebration that took place, or I should say an exposition, called a Tertio Millennial Exposition. And what's interesting about this exposition is it was celebrated to commemorate the 333rd anniversary of the founding of Santa Fe. Totally incorrect. The year 1550 had no significance whatsoever,
right.
But it served its purpose, and that was to promote local business and tourism. So basically, this fiesta in 1883 was very different from any of the fiestas that had taken place before then. This fiesta featured businessmen displaying their goods, horse races, parades, music and dancing. It was a three-day affair where they had Indian Day the first day, the reenactment of Vargas's Entrada on the second day, and the third day featured Anglo-American culture. And you can see this is a very different fiesta than the early Hispanic religious fiestas.
Right. And so it became more like what we see today. In the sense of
exactly.
There was a religious aspect of it or a church aspect of it for some people, but mainly it was an excuse, which, I mean, really a lot of religions is excuse for social activity to some extent. And
sure.
And so here we were getting out in the street and bringing the kids and having a good time.
Absolutely. And this continued all the way through the 1800s, from 1883 until 1912. And right around 1912 was a big event here in New Mexico. New Mexico gained statehood. And this really was another turning point for Fiesta in that, for instance, in 1912, both the Mexican and American anthems were played during Fiesta. So
right.
We have real diversity going on here. And 1912 marked a grand fiesta, celebrating statehood. And this was sponsored by various groups like the Chamber of Commerce, the Alianza Hispanoamericana, and the Museum of New Mexico. And so this was the peak, in some ways, of Fiesta. And then, ironically, Fiesta is not celebrated after 1912.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, there are several theories about this, but one of the main influences on this dropping of Fiesta was the now Santa Fe was a part of the United States. New Mexico was a state in the Union, and this was the period when World War I began, and much of the attention of the country was focused on this world war, and for this reason and several other reasons as well, the Fiesta was dropped for the next 6 years.
So what about Zozobra, which today is such a huge part of the Fiesta experience?
Well, this is another, like, really fascinating aspect of the Fiesta. It went through another major transformation after it was revived in 1919, and Zozobra was part of this transformation. So what happens in 1919 is the Fiesta is revived, but it's not organically revived. It was revived by the Museum of New Mexico and the School of American Research. And those two institutions were made up mostly of Eastern-educated non-natives. And the Hispanic population, their participation dropped sharply. They felt that it was being redefined by outsiders, and the cultural and religious identity of the Fiesta was being lost.
Right.
During this time...
And so it was really, I mean, it was part of the attempt to have something to show to the tourists.
That was a big part of it. It was starting to be realized by people here in New Mexico that this could be a real asset as far as the economics goes, is to bring in tourists from the rest of the United States.
Right.
And as we get into the 1920s, not only are the Hispanic population being disaffected in some ways by this change and by this attitude, but we have a new group that comes into Santa Fe. You know, we're talking about the Roaring Twenties here, when attitudes were changing, and we had you can almost call them the hippies of their time.
Right.
The artists, the writers, photographers. Well, a group of these free thinkers came and lived in Santa Fe because they wanted to escape the Industrial Revolution of the eastern part of the United States. And they sided with the Hispanics, feeling that this fiesta that the Museum of New Mexico was putting together was not really reflecting the true spirit of the area. So they basically started their own alternative fiesta, and they called it Pasatiempo.
Uh-huh.
And this is fascinating, and it leads to many changes that we recognize as the fiesta that we celebrate today. And some of the things that they brought in to their alternate fiesta were things such as a hysterical parade, for instance.
Right. I remember I once marched in the hysterical historical parade.
Right. This is really a direct connection to the 1920s art colony alternative fiesta. So we have that. We have also things that might be recognizable, like a children's animal parade.
The pet parade, which to my mind is still the best part of the whole weekend.
Oh, it's wonderful. And then, of course, Zozobra. And basically the way this came about was this was Will Schuster's creation, one of these artists from the 1920s. And in 1924, Will Schuster built a puppet based on an effigy of Judas that he saw burned in a ritual in Mexico,
right,
in his backyard. He burned the effigy for a few friends. The following year, with the help of a man by the name of E. Dana Johnson, who was editor of the New Mexican, they expanded this and built an 18-foot puppet. And this was really an extension, and they gave him the name of Zozobra.
And that has become the tradition that we see today, and I guess, what, does it get bigger every year?
Well, in 1926 was the first public burning, and he continued to grow and change, and he's become come to signify the beginning of fiesta. So Zozobra has become a very important part of fiesta.
Now, one of the things that one of the attempts all along was to bill Santa Fe as a tricultural happy place where these different cultures get along. But of course, fiesta was originally a celebration of the conquest by one group of another group, and Native American people were never particularly into it.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the interesting events that occurred in recent years was in 1992, there was a video that was produced called Gathering Up Again.
Right, that was made by a friend of mine, yeah.
Right. And she actually examined the fiesta with the Pueblo Indian perspective, with a more critical eye. And this actually had some changes that occurred because of this. This generated debate and comments from many local leaders, and it became a catalyst for change. The following year after the video was produced, Archbishop Robert Sanchez gave La Conquistadora an additional name, Señora de la Paz, or Our Lady of Peace. A massive reconciliation was added to the fiesta, and there was more sensitivity given to the Pueblo Indian perspective after that video came out. So it had some repercussions.
And still worth watching.
Absolutely.
Gathering Up Again, Jenny Dubuzek.
Sure.
So how is fiesta doing today?
Well, I think fiesta today is...
Oh, and we must not forget the melodrama.
Oh, absolutely not. This is another part of that 1920s... Pasatiempo alternative fiesta was the melodrama.
Right.
Yeah. So that's part of fiesta also.
Is it something that Hispanic people and everybody else are all equally participating in at this point?
Yes. Actually, I think that if we look at the fiesta today, it's a conglomeration of all of these things we've talked about. It has the religious aspect of 1712. It has become a civic celebration, which came in 1883 with the exposition. It has all of the colorful additions of the fiesta brought in by the art colony in the 1920s. It still reflects in many ways Hispanic culture and identity. But I think today, in many ways, what it is it's a citywide expression of pride and love of the city itself.
Andrew Lovato is an author. He's a professor at Santa Fe Community College, and once again, he will be speaking tomorrow, the 8th of September, at 6:30 at the St. Francis Auditorium, sponsored by the Museum of New Mexico Foundation, Santa Fe Fiesta, Reflecting the Changing Faces of Santa Fe Culture. And we will see you, Andrew, at Fiesta. What's your favorite part?
My favorite part of Fiesta is actually not any of the events. It's simply going downtown and people watching and listening to the bands on the bandstand and just getting to be a part of the flavor of the entire Fiesta, eating the food. It's just a wonderful experience, and I really encourage people to go downtown. It's very peaceful.
Now it's very peaceful. We had that murder some years ago.
Well, actually, there has been some ups and downs with Fiesta over time. We actually had riots in 1971 in which the National Guard was called in.
Good heavens.
A lot of people don't realize that that's a part of the Fiesta as well.
Yeah.
But since the Fiesta was changed from Labor Day weekend, because of that particular incident in 1971, it's become much more small and local. And this is one of these interesting little aspects of Fiesta that make it so much a part of the lore of Santa Fe history.
And so now it's always the weekend after Labor Day.
It is, and it made a dramatic change because people weren't coming from all over the country who had no prior knowledge about the background of what the Fiesta was about. They saw it as a big party.
So now it's really gone back to a town celebration by and for us.
Exactly. And so it's for us, and so I encourage everybody to come and enjoy.
Andrew Lovato, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.